And we are now live. Talk taekwondo.
Talk taekwondo. I thought it's going down like a news broadcast.
We'll see. Where you're going with that. Time.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, variety is the spice of life. So I thought we'd vary up the intro.
I like it. Yeah. Variety is the spice of life, as they say. But as I said, welcome to Talk TKD podcast episode 3. I hope you're enjoying it thus far. I think it's going well, don't you?
Yeah. Mm. Well, I don't know. I think the viewers, you can be the judge of that.
That's true. That's
always true. Open to, opinions. Be as harsh as you want.
Indeed, yeah. Opinions, talking points, etc. We're all good. I've been working on the website, talktkd.com. Hopefully it should be live within the week. And we've got lots of things that we'll let you know about that. First of all, I'd like to mention our first sponsor, Super Fight Series. Boom, May 16th, a week yesterday. They have a big show in SSE Wembley. And you can go to ssearena.co.uk to get your tickets to that. I will be there, ringside, on a table, watching. There's going to be some amazing fights. There is 3 4-man tournaments and 2 ISKA-sanctioned world title fights. So I think it's safe to say that it's going to be an extremely good, epic show. I can't wait. I'm buzzing. I think you can get some... tickets last minute, so either go to the website or contact me if you are struggling or want some help with that. I can help you get tickets. Great show, great fighters, great promotion. It'll be good. I promise you, you will feel like you've got your money's worth for sure. Also, shout out to True Warrior, who are my kit sponsor. They make some great dough box. Sparring equipment, t-shirts, tracksuits, kit bags, stuff like that. It's all very high quality. The design is great. They look cool. My favourite is the white sparring equipment. I think with a white Dobok, just looks slick, in my opinion. And I enjoy wearing their stuff at tournaments. For any boxers or kickboxers, they've got an absolutely brilliant head guard that's full face, comes round the cheekbone, and sort of sits underneath the chin as well. Like, it's snug, it's good, like it is good protection. So any of like the full contact guys out there, or if you're sparring and you want some good protection, and don't want to lose those brain cells. So that's something I'd like to talk about, actually, is contact and the repercussions for your brain, but maybe at a future date. If you are concerned about that, it's a great piece of kit to keep your noggin safe. So check out warriorforlife.co.uk. Was it .com? I forgot now. Either way, you'll find it. Warrior for Life, and check them out. We'll do that. Okay. So last night we were at the Legends evening, which for the Puma people, and non-Puma people, a lot of people will know Master Johnny Black, who was one of the sort of founding members of Puma, which is the ITF association that we are in.
Well, anyone from Devon, really, Taekwondo stemmed from him.
In
the southwest, really. So
Basically, the southwest of England, Taekwondo was brought there by Master Black. He very sadly passed away coming up a couple of years ago now. He's, for anyone that knew him, there's only one Master Black. He's as the evening suggested, he was a legend. Everyone knew when he was in the room. And everyone was excited when he was about to come into the room. Yeah. And we had a great evening celebrating the kind of spirit of Master Black and sort of what he stood for and what I think he would have liked to have seen You know, I think that evening is definitely very much in the spirit of Massa Black. I don't know if you've got a little readout.
Yeah, well, this is from Master Rob on Seventh Degree. This is something that he wrote in the kind of closing paragraph of the brochure of the leaflet here. It says, "Every time we met him, he was full of praise and encouragement. He would never stop with his enthusiasm for life and his chosen art. He was the greatest motivator Master Gale or I have ever trained under. He would always light up a room or training hall. As Master Gale says, once met, never forgotten."
Mm. Yeah, that's very, very fitting, definitely. It was a good night. I think it was, you know, it wasn't too sad. It was in the spirit of Master Black, which, you know, it was lively, it was nice, which I think that's what he definitely would have wanted. Apart from Danny Dowling taking the award for best speech, bit of comedy, and then some tears afterwards. I think somebody should give that man an Oscar just to see what he says.
Yeah. Well, there's 10 categories given out. I think it wasn't, they're trying to make it sure, like, it wasn't too, like, you know, you do the best sidekick, you do it. It's kind of looking more at personality, which Master Black is full of. There's awards for indomitable spirit, long service to his school. Obviously, he's a military man as well. He's served long in the army as well. Perseverance. There was a competition award for adults and juniors. There's random acts of kindness, which you got.
Yeah, random.
Yeah, and students who have made a difference. The infectious attitude, technical excellence, mature students, and named after legend Master Black, the world is richer because you're here.
Mm. And Master Gale made a point that he said kind of the whole point of the evening is celebrating the fact that actually everyone that got an award because they felt that the world, whether it's the Puma world or globally, is a richer place for their involvement in Puma and Taekwondo, which I think is lovely. And I think there's something that I think Master Gale does so well is that he emphasises the, for want of a better word, spiritual, sort of philosophical side of Taekwondo that... He just does it very well, he's the person with the most infectious attitude, really. Master Gale and Master Black and Master Auburn as well, of course. Like, the three of them were special people. For those sort of non-Puma people, you're probably thinking, oh, okay, I don't know these. Well, I'm sure a lot of you do know those people, so I think it is relevant, but. Apologies if you don't know who we're talking about, but hey, Google them, YouTube them, they're special people, and obviously very close to us. They've watched us grow up from little boys
to
men that we are today.
It's taught us that Taekwondo is more than just kicking and punching, so
indeed I think that's so important and so easy to forget as well sometimes, that you know, you might be world champion, you might have be able to do a 6 o'clock sidekick, whatever. Like, if your heart isn't in the right place, if you're out there for sort of egotistical gains or whatever, you'll find it hard in a group where that side of things are emphasised for a good reason. So overall, good evening. I think everyone thoroughly enjoyed it.
It wasn't all doom and gloom. If you don't know, Master Black was a very funny guy, apart from being, you know, a great character and stuff like that. He's a very funny guy. And dare I say it, we have something called Blackisms. Which is moments of clumsiness, or I don't know how to put it.
Just things Master Black does.
Yeah, randomness.
Yeah.
If you want to give me an example, you've probably got a whole catalogue, so many to choose from.
I think my most relevant and best one actually involves you. I can't remember if it was like your first adult summer camp, maybe. The first one, but we have an annual summer training camp, and we do beach training each morning. And Master Black came down with his yellow beach patrol jumper and his hat umbrella thing, as he does. And he was looking at some self-defense techniques and locks and holds and how to get out of things and stuff like that. And he's like, "Oh, I need a volunteer. Mikey, come here." He's like, and Mike sort of walked over, you know, being, you know, tough, big competitor that you are.
Well, I like to think so.
And that's where he's like, "Well, I can't remember whether it was like from a, I think it was from a shirt grab maybe, or something like that." But he's like, "Right, we need to get his wrist, whack it over like that," and Mike goes, "Boom!" And then he's like, "Then put him on the floor," and obviously we're on the beach, Mike goes face first into the sand, like hard, boom, and I started to laugh a little bit, because Mike's just got his face buried in the sand, and then Master Black, still holding his wrist, cranking on a wrist lock, grabs Mike's head, and slams it into the sand.
Yeah, time and time again.
Multiple times going. And then what you do, that's right, you get his head and you bang it into the sand like this. Mike's face go, "Ugh!" Just eating sand. It was, made my day, made my week. But that's the thing with Master Black. It's like he jokes around and like, you know, he's very welcoming, a very warm person, but like the man's deadly. Like I did a short stick seminar with him once. He sort of bah, 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 bah. It was a wax thing. I was like, "Oh, wow!" And obviously, like Master Girl and Master Woman, obviously got lots of better stories of. He's one of those lovely guys that you can be relaxed around, but you have to respect. And if you don't show that respect, then you will soon be showing respect, without a shadow of a doubt. But
yeah,
I think. Things like, I mean, there's the classics like he was caught trying to break into, or like trying to get over the fence of Bruce Lee's house in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
spent some time over there with the military, didn't he?
Even outside of. Outside of Taekwondo, like he's a local celebrity, like on the local radio, he'd ring in daily, weekly, and everyone's like, Blackie, he worked in the local leisure centre, and he's a little celebrity then, and I remember when he passed, they had the master at Tainbridge Castle at half mast, I think, and they did on the radio, I think, I can't remember if it's or something like that, but it's the local radio in Devon did like songs devoted to him and stuff like that. It was momentous.
Definitely. That's the thing. He was just a special man, regardless of the fact that he was an 8th degree senior master at Taekwondo. I think, you know, even if he'd never put a dobok on, like, I think he's just one of those people that if you may say, he's a special guy. And also we're very blessed to the fact that he did put a dobok on and therefore brought Taekwondo to the southwest of England and, you know, helped teach Master Go, helped teach me. Like, you know, without him, we wouldn't be here doing this podcast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So thank you, Master B.
Yeah, it's a good evening all round. It was fun, it was enjoyable, and you know, it wasn't all too doom and gloom.
Yeah, it was groovy. It was groovy.
Yeah, in other news, last weekend was for MWTA, Master Wolves Taekwondo Association's British Championship.
It certainly was. We plugged it on the podcast. I hope they heard the shout out.
Yeah, it seemed as if there's a good turnout. There seems to be loads of different organisations there.
Good.
Yeah, from what I could see, there's some good bouts going on.
Excellent. Do you know any results?
A few. I don't want to name individuals, but, you know, like...
I'm sure they... If you name a winner, I'm sure they'll...
Okay. Like Kimberly Bradshaw. There's...
Congratulations.
Yeah, I saw...
Also recently a 5th degree as well, so congratulations, ma'am, on that as well.
Yeah, plug away. What was good about it is I saw that she's up against quite a few opponents. Which is quite rare for that division.
Yeah, like heavyweight female black belt sparring, normally that there's not too many, but yeah, well, I'm glad she got a good category.
It's always
not that
good.
She needed to prove herself, obviously, multiple world champion, but it's nice for her to have a test, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I didn't see it.
But. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of normally one of the weaker categories, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, most definitely.
And it's kind of, well, both extremities, I think the very, very small people.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a small category as well.
This is the smallest categories and the heaviest categories are always going to be the smallest, aren't they, just by population.
Yeah.
Mm. Etc.
It's the Vision Taekwondo Championships yesterday.
Cool. I hope everyone had fun.
Yeah. Oh, if anyone can get back to us with results from the European Champions, the one in Italy I went on last week.
Oh, yeah. The EITF.
If anyone can get back with, any of the England team results.
Let us know. Or send us a link, please.
Yeah.
Talk TKD on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
Hit us up. Yeah. Excellent. So we're talking of European Championships. We've got 2.5-3 weeks, something like that, to the World Championships.
Yeah.
Feeling strong.
Yeah.
Feeling a machine.
Yeah.
Ready to destroy.
Fat tick, yeah. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, the clock is coming down. So it's obviously a lot of people listening to this will be competitors themselves or would have experienced it or done it in the past. It's always, it's not just the physical training, is it? It's the psychological toil that comes with the competing and the training and the training for the competing, etc.
And the travelling and the money. It takes its toll.
Definitely.
I'm very tired at the moment and very poor. But hopefully, come the end of the world, it'd be completely worth it. So.
Exactly. That's the thing, is if you put the time in, if you put the hours in, and you do well, like win or not, whether you represent yourself to the best that you know you could, like that's enough. That makes it worth it.
Yeah, I feel that if you put a lot of effort in, then the result is going to be more polarized. Like, if you put your all into it and you lose, then you're going to be gutted. But if you kind of just roll up on a day and you lose and you think, oh well, I didn't train that hard. But same with winning as well. Like, if you don't train, you go in there and win, and you probably, it won't mean as much because you did make those sacrifices.
This is it. It is the sacrifices that make it what it is. I think we might have mentioned this before, but I've been more proud of some tournaments that where I didn't win because of the training that I put into it and the opponents that I faced than other tournaments that are arguably like as good, but I didn't put the training in, or I didn't have the opponents. I mean, the training thing, I try to avoid that. I think you at an elite level, like, you kind of only really made that mistake once or twice, twice maximum. Weight, you don't come in as fit as you should have been. 2004 World Championships in Korea were the one for me, the turning point. I tore my hamstring before we went, and I couldn't do a rising kick above my hip or a side kick on the other leg above my knee. But being 16 as I was at the time, I did the very sensible thing and decided to keep my mouth shut, not tell the coaches, miss a squad session or two, and then just went, just because I was scared that they were going to say just don't go. In the long run, that's what I should have done, because I lost in the first round and did more damage to my hamstring, and now I've got scar tissue there, and I'm having some problems with it, and physios having to keep sort of unknotting it and stuff like that. It's a pain in the backside, but
or in the hamstring.
Sorry? Yeah, pain in the hamstring.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. I've got scar tissues. I've done both of my hamstrings loads of times. I think it's so important to manage your injuries. You probably don't think of it much when you're young, when it goes for the first time, when you're, I suppose injuries start happening when you're like 16, 17 or so. That's when you kind of first get the pulls and strains and stuff like that. When you're young, you can, you know, you can bounce off ceilings and not hurt yourself.
Yeah, but, yeah, apart from sort of big freak, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fractures or whatever from falling off a building. Yeah, like yeah, I know what you mean. Most, you know, yeah, most sort of kids don't tend to get like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's looking back now, I so wish that I'd managed my injuries better, because now it's scar tissue, and you know, I think, you know, when it happens, like your eagerness to go back is the, you know, overruling kind of thing that, you know, makes you go back to it too early. And I think it's a lot better just to be sensible. It's hard talking to 16, 17-year-olds who are like, oh, I've just done a hamstring injury or something like that. You know, I've got the South Bristol Open coming up in 2 weeks' time. I've got to train for that and
yeah,
and you know, it'd be all right. So you know, you have to
prioritize.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, injury management and overtraining is Masagel and Mr. Lamin will tell you, has been an issue for myself in the past. I think between the ages of like, I don't know, like 18 to like 23, 24, something like, just trained so hard and did so much and competed so much that like, I just, yeah, I did some damage to myself in those years, I think. You know, I learned some lessons and stuff like that, but like now I can't compete as much as I did, because I competed too much, I think, back in the day. And I was trying to muddle kickboxing and taekwondo and continuous kickboxing, full contact kickboxing, etc., and trying to do this, that, and the other, and compete at a high level in taekwondo, and yeah, just went hell for leather. And and you know, Masagel constantly saying, Phil, you're overtraining, you need to, you know, rest, etc., you need to take it easy. And being the, you know, stubborn young man that I probably still am, but less so, I like to think. I try and learn. I did listen, and like it was one of those things. Like I'm like, okay, I should rest, and then I rest for like, you know, train lightly for like a, you know, 3-4 days, and then by the end of the week I'm just back slogging on again. That's not a problem these days, because I literally can't. My hamstring won't let me, my body won't let me, like, tear it up until that point, like, you know, it's age, lovely.
Yeah, it's also important to look about what you put in your stomach as well. You see kids doing a lot of dramatic, like, weight loss and stuff like that, which is doing them no good in the long term. You know, apart from draining them and making them weak for a competition itself. You know, it also has long-term effects, and you know, can make you ill, and you know, while you've missed out on tournaments because you're sick, because you lost too much weight, and you know, you didn't put the right stuff in.
I got knocked out in patterns once. Mm. Not literally knocked out, but I did my pattern. I think I won, or maybe I lost, I can't remember. And it came off and just whited out, literally went white and just, yeah. And that was similar time that, yeah, I was trying to go like 76 kilos to 80 kilos to 76, like, and just, well, I think at one point I had like 6 fights or competitions, including internationals, British titles, and full contact fights in like 8 or 9 weeks or something like that. So, like, pretty much every week fighting, competing, and juggling my weight and stuff like that. And, I think the last one of those was did a pattern and just went boom and just conked out, because I was overtrained and I was just exhausted, absolutely exhausted. Yeah, I've learned the hard way. That's not a problem that so much these days. Yeah. It's, it's a problem. But if anyone listening has any tips about maybe like knowing when you're getting to that point of overtraining, or has had any overtraining sort of problems themselves, or think that they might be overtraining, then please get in contact. Talk TKD. Hopefully, yeah, by the end of the week, you can go on the website and go on the forum and just start your whole new forum on the website. But for now, you can hit us up on Facebook.
Yeah. In non-Taekwondo news, we had the...
But this is Talk TKD, Michael Whitlock.
Yeah, but we had the general election.
We did have a general election.
And I understand that, Taekwondo should be free of politics. But we both know that's not the case.
No.
And now it's kind of becoming a bit like it seems like Taekwondo organisations are almost like parties, like saying, come to us, we have value for money, we have...
These are our USPs.
Yeah, so what would be the most important thing for you? If you could choose one thing, there's like costs, there's money, there's, there's the ambiance, the nature of the organisation, friendliness, there's the access to tournaments. What would be the number one for you at this moment in time?
That's a very good and tricky question. And I think, obviously, like, for an association, they need to get a balance of all of those.
Oh, yeah.
I think, it is the obvious answer. But, sounds hippie-ish. But, for me, honestly, it's having just good people around you with good leadership. I think for me that's the most important thing, and I think that's what's kept me on the straight and narrow is just that, the background work that everyone does, and just the social. I mean, obviously you were 5, I was 7 when we started. Think about last night, the table that we sat on, Pearl and Chippers, as we're allowed to call them. Miss Gale and Miss Chipperfield were next to us, and they're like second mums to us, or big sister, maybe that's more preferable term for them. You choose, it's up to you. they've watched us grow up, Pearl knows all of my family, we're talking, and just having that support network of good people, and for me, that's important because, my kind of philosophy on Taekwondo is that it's a model for living. It's a way to live your life. And I think the only way for that to work is for the other people to be interacting you within that model, need to adhere to, the integrity and kind of courtesy, etc., that is required for the model to work. And obviously, I think we're extremely blessed. I think we're two of the luckiest dudes. There are Master Gale, obviously he's the chairman of our association, but obviously he's been an instructor since we were little kids, and he's had a big effect on us and our upbringing. This week we'll go through periods where I don't talk to him that much and stuff like that, but it's fine because I know that he's always there, if whatever happened, etc., if anything happened, I know that I could pick up the phone and he'd be giving me an ear to listen to and help me as much as he possibly could, which is amazing considering how much he does for other people and our association. So for me, good people in the group, but I think that filters down from the leadership.
Yeah, because now we have, through good leadership, you can have access to the tournaments and, you know, value for money and all those things come from good leadership, I suppose. So, yeah.
Yeah, it does filter down.
Yeah, so he's our Cameron.
And like, tax cuts for the rich and all that. No! Sorry, I was going back on the general election.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. What I just said, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what works economically. What about you? What do you think, Michael Whitlock?
Well, I think you summed up pretty well. I think good leadership because, you know, from a competitive point of view, you know, I'm my body's not going to last forever. I'm not going to be able to do triple back flip somersaults landing in splits kick for the rest of my life.
You can do that now?
Whatever.
That was a very good politician's tactic. Get answered a question or get caught up or something. Just anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So you know, it's. I think in future it's going to be my escapism, and you know my way of kind of getting out of work and, you know, just relaxing and stuff like that. So, you know, the whole access to good tournaments and stuff probably won't be too beneficial for me. So having someone, a good leader who can cater for a lot of people, you know, for those who are, you know, got, talking about last week, Matthew Powell, people with disabilities and, you know, catering for, like, the Norman Lucas, the older people.
This, I think that's just it. It's about having somebody that is aware and cares about the needs and wants of the whole group. And that's a, you know, a massive responsibility and job and something, yeah, that my hat off to anyone that is,
you know, like running a country.
I'm sure it feels like it.
Okay.
Well, Master Girl for President, Prime Minister even.
Yeah. Well, okay. In other news, Prince William and Kate have had a baby.
Yeah. I'm trying to get him. I've given them an email and said, look, I've got a little pumas class Wednesdays and Sundays in Patchway. You know, send them my way. It'll be a little prince warrior.
Yeah. I'm just trying to relate that to taekwondo, really.
Royal babies and taekwondo.
Royal babies and taekwondo. What's a good age to start taekwondo?
What is a good age to start taekwondo?
That's a good one.
I think it is all dependent on the child. I teach some 4 going on 40-year-olds, and I have some 40 going on 4-year-olds. I'm joking. My WMA adults. I love you all. But yeah, I think it's dependent on the child, really. I personally start, like, the age that I take them from is 4, and I have a little pumas 4 to sort of 6-7 years old, and at 7 they cross over and go over to the juniors. But you started taekwondo, not, obviously now is, you know, pretty, it's very common, everyone has sort of has their, like, pre-taekwondo syllabus for younger students, try and get them involved, but, you know, you don't teaching a 4-year-old Sajirugi 1, 2, and Sajomaki for their grading is quite a task and an unrealistic one as well. So most groups have those programs. But you started taekwondo before any of those programs kind of existed at the age of 5.
Yeah.
Do you think that was too soon or too late or just right?
It's a difficult one. I mean, who knows? Who knows, really? I can tell you now that my hips and my knees aren't what a normal 26-year-old should be.
But do you think that's because you started taekwondo so young, or do you think it's because you don't do taekwondo twice a week, you do taekwondo, you know, nearly twice a day, and you're, I think, like, if you start from a kid and you do taekwondo, you know, a couple of times a week, etc., throughout into your adulthood, then I reckon you'll probably be all right. Like, you get, yeah, obviously everyone's gonna have injuries and stuff like that, but, like, the wear and tear where you see like the masters and senior grades that, you know, have had knee surgery, hip surgery, etc. You know, that's A, because of the style of training, but also because they're doing it day in, day out, you know, like you are now, you know.
Well, I think that they should learn a bit more from sports science, keep up to date with that, about physio, looking after injuries.
Mm. We're getting there, I think. But there's a way to go, definitely.
I'd say a lot of people are well behind on that. Mm. When it comes to, you know, they have knee problems, so what's that coming from? Is that stemming from a tight IT band? So that's a popular one in Taekwondo people, tight IT bands. And kind of getting a physio and, you know, learning from the science that is available to us. So I think my hip and knee problems kind of stem from years and years and years of training, stomping around in barefoot on hard ground, hard leather centre ground.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that until you're 70, 80 from the age of 5. Just because the impact just shudders through your joints. And you see nowadays a lot of full-time dojangs getting matted surfaces and stuff like that. And so I think that's something that, you know, it's coming harder to become instructor because it's, you know, it's not cheap. But those could really help you with your longevity, having a matted floor.
Mm. I agree with that massively. In fact, well, at the moment, like, both my feet are bashed up. They hurt. We did technical training with Masco this morning, 2-3 hours or so. That was really light work, but like literally, I just take my feet off and stand on the floor without any shoes off, and my feet hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I'm sure that's the case for a lot of people, but I've been like that for like a year or so. But the mats, I'm okay. But like doing Tai Gi, 6 W-shaped blocks with a stamp is murder. Like, Tai Gi Tour, Chumbi, I'm like, oh, my heart sinks. Like, okay, come on, foot, come on, man up. Poker face.
But
as I say, but when I'm on the mats, it's okay, it's manageable. Maybe, like, it's amazing that, like, you know, such a tiny thing could possibly have, like, a massive effect on your health, you know, if you're, as you say, if you're, yeah, banging around without the mats, or if you're banging around with the mats, then you probably won't see as much damage for over the years.
Yeah, or but if you had a guess. Kind of, you know, I think there shouldn't be a massive hoo-ha about people wearing martial arts shoes as well on hard grounds.
Mm.
You know, I think as long as you ask your instructor, I think they should all be fine with that to prolong your joints. And
yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I mean, you do want... It's hard. I think the people that are doing 2 classes a week, I think they should take their shoes off. A, because of tradition, because etc. But also, to toughen up their feet. But where you get to that point where, like, you know, I touch the bottom of my foot, I can hardly feel my finger touching it, my feet are solid just from bashed up, etc. And I get a lot of pain in my feet. So, yeah, I think you should try and, like, aim to toughen up the feet by having your shoes off, but at the same time being sensible and acknowledging, you say, you know what, I'm just going to suffer. And I'm just gonna get worse if I don't do that. Tricky one to.
Why do you need tough feet though? Why is that a necessity?
Nowadays, that's a good point.
Mm.
Do you need that tougher feet? I mean, like, if you're gonna be breaking, doing destruction and stuff like that, and kicking people barefoot in the face, then yeah, I guess. But actually, yeah.
But surely there's safer ways of doing it without risking your hips and knees.
That's true. That's a good point. And I would have to think about that before I answered it. Why don't you lot have a think about it as well? What do you think about wearing shoes and the benefits of not wearing shoes, etc. in your Taekwondo class? That's a tricky one. Maybe... And we are more than happy being put in our place. You know, if you think that we're wrong about something, please let us know. Because we're wrong about a lot of stuff. You know, we got to remember this is not scripted. We come here, these are our opinions as we ask, as we talk. And I'm more than happy. If, you know, I genuinely, it's a good thing. If I spout something out as an opinion that and somebody says, actually, that's unfounded, here's the evidence for this, that and the other, and I know that what I said was incorrect or I'm not correct to say it, then that's a good thing for me, you know, spreading disinformation. So let us have that privilege, please. I want to say another big shout out for the kickboxing show on Saturday. You haven't let me know whether you're coming here. But anyway, but there is episode one. It's called Cosmic Collision. Some fantastic fighters. Check it out. Obviously, the website will be live, which will have links to where you can get tickets and where you can see when the next shows are and stuff like that. I will be fighting on Super Fight Series, the show after that, on the July 11th. again, I'll let you know how you can get tickets for that, obviously through me, hopefully through the website as well. Any closing comments, Mr. M. Whitlock?
Is there anything coming up?
Events. Open events, I'm not too sure about. So we've got the Puma English Championships coming up after the World Championships, June 14th, Swindon.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, we've got an exciting project hopefully coming up. We're teaming up with a gentleman from Bristol who is a professional martial arts photographer. He does competitions, events, club visits, etc. And does some really great professional photos. For those listening to just the downloadable podcast, please check out the YouTube video as well for some extra entertainment from Mike that you won't pick up via the audio. But yeah, as I say, hopefully we'll have some more details out about that. We can get you some good discounts on having club photo shoots. You know, obviously, we all want good photos of us in our gear doing what we do the best because we are the mighty, mighty taekwondoers. You know, good for like profile pictures and stuff like that. And for instructors as well, for promotional stuff, event holders, competition holders, etc. It's you know, it's a good way for you to possibly make some money yourself as well. So we'll have some details out about that, and lots of other things that I'll put out on the Facebook and the website and stuff like that in the coming days. Massive thank you to for Masco and Mas Robin for Legends Night last night, and thank you for our awards. I forgot to mention you picked up a top competitor award. I must admit, when they did that and called like the people out, the top competitors, and then went on to the next category, I thought, oh, they've forgotten me. No, I thought, oh, it doesn't matter, you know. But no, I've got another nice one. In fact, I've got it right here on my window piece. I don't know if you can see that. Possibly not. It's printed, and it's got Master Black in the... a classic Bruce Lee pose, as he did love Bruce Lee. There's the man. Any thoughts to sign off?
We have been taught TGAD. You have been great. And we'll see you again next time. Doodaloo, doodaloo,
doodaloo.
Talk, talk,
talk.
Make
it up a theme tune.
Talk TGAD.
Yeah.
Jazz hands.